Chapter 95. "Wake up! Wake up, Harren! Wake up!" she hisses, because she dreamed that he went to sleep and never woke again, and they lost, and the world was falling into the Fade, and maybe the Fade was falling into the world, and he wouldn't wake up! Maybe he was in the Fade somewhere, walking someplace she'd never been before. Harren wakes, hands stopping hers as she shakes him.
"What is it, Dalen?" he asks,
quiet and tired-sounding. But he's awake, and that's good, because... "Is it possible for us to go into Euthenera, even though we're Shem?" she asks, because she didn't think it was. Their lives are too short for the long sleep. They've lost too much of the people to have the magic for it. But her Harren has more magic and knowledge than anyone she's ever met, Shem or not, and she has the mark of a god on her hand and scarred across her mana. She figures that if anyone could enter the Euthenera, it'd be one of them. Harren blinks at her, frowning.
"The eternal dream is reserved for the immortal elves, Dalen."
I know, but so were Illuvians and dreamwalking, and so was this magic and the magic of the arcane knights, she replies. "Is it possible?"
Harren is quiet in contemplation for a moment, sitting up and holding up a hand to stall her. "It is not impossible," he answers.
Llewellyn feels her heart seize in her chest, but he takes her hands in his.
"But, Dalen, I assure you, if the waking dream were to come upon someone, you would know, and you could stop it. It takes time to enter the waking sleep. It is not instant. There are preparations to be made."
"How do you know?"
"Do you doubt?"
"No," Llewellyn flinches. "I don't, but I had a dream."
Solas waits, because dreams are important. Humans don't understand it as well, how important dreams are. Dreams save lives, and they can take them, too. Dreams are how spirits speak and how gods descend.
"I dreamed that you went into the waking dream, Harren," Llewellyn says, careful to keep her fingers from nodding, because that means nerves, and that means weak, and that means he might not believe her, and he has to, because she needs to know. She can't let them die.
"And then I couldn't wake you, and then we lost, and I still couldn't wake you. I couldn't win without you, but you wouldn't wake up, and you had gone somewhere in the Fade, and I could not find you, and the veil ripped, and it became like you said before, spirits and this world becoming one, and it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all."
Solas rests his hand on top of her head, soothing with cool, old, and calm mana. Llewellyn closes her eyes and lets it wash over her, pale and deep and rich and pure. Someday, if she grows old enough, her mana will be like this too, with luck. "There are ways to wake the sleepers," he says, "and if I were ever to enter the waking dream, you would know, I would tell you. At the very least, your spymaster would figure out something odd is going on and alert someone."
"Promise?"
"I promise," Solas says, pressing his thumb to her temple. "Now, go back to sleep, Dalen. It is late, and we have a few days of travel left before we return to Skyhold. If you'd like, there I could guide you to some of the memories I've found of the waking dream."
"Yes," Llewellyn breathes. "Masaranas, Harren."
"Your thoughts on the spirit?" Solas asks, as she carefully traces out runes.
"He's nice. I watched him leave out plums for spiders. I didn't know other people did that,"
Llewellyn says, careful, because if she does it wrong, she could accidentally set something on fire.
"A question, Harren."
Solas nods as he reads over her copybook for mistakes in conjugation.
"Cole is not human."
"No, he isn't."
"So, does that mean it would be all right not to hide in front of him?"
Llewellyn asks.
"He's a spirit, so that means no country. So it should be all right, right?"
"Yes," Solas says, glancing down at her as she kicks her legs. He's offered her the desk twice, but she seems content to lay on the floor. It's terrible for her posture. Cole should pose no threat to either of us, if you should so choose to act and behave in the way you feel most comfortable. Cole does not have the Shemlin biases. Acting as you would normally around him and speaking as you would prefer will be fine as long as he does not mention or repeat it to others. Llewellyn nods, humming a little of what Solas recognizes to be a prayer to Selyse.
He's thin, she says after a few seconds. Do you think he eats or sleeps?
Spirits don't, normally. Solas answers, Cole is a strange case. He might. You could try.
Llewellyn flicks her foot.
Don't bother the boy, Solas says. If he says no, don't push.
Llewellyn sighs. I won't. I don't push.
She does, but Solas isn't going to be the one to tell her that.
Do you think he'd be able to help with my lessons?
You could ask him, if you'd like. Solas would like to speak with Cole, and learn more about him and try to understand how he has shaped himself as human. The next few minutes are spent with Solas marking out where her apostrophes should have gone, as she finishes writing out the elemental runes.
Haren?
She asks, as she hands him the copybook to look over.
Hmm? Do you think Cole would let me try on his hat? I've never seen a hat like that one before. It looks really neat.
Solas feels his lip twitch upwards. Perhaps you ought to go find Cole and ask him. He waves his hand at her. I will send these back to you when I am done correcting them.
Llewellyn winces, torn between excitement at being told to find Cole and nerves.
I am sure you have improved, Solas assures her. Your conjugation for the more complicated verbs is doing much better than it was a few weeks ago. I haven't used nearly as much red as last time.
Oh, good, Llewellyn says, warily eyeing the inkpot. I'll see you later then, Haren.